Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Doctors Roundtable, a forum for conversations with Atlanta's leading doctors and thought leaders about cutting-edge trends and topics in health, wellness, and lifestyle issues. Here's our host, Tanya Mack.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is a beautiful day here in Atlanta, and we will be talking today about beauty. It is after the new year, and I know a lot of us made goals or commitments or resolutions about how we look, whether that's weight loss or something that we want to get done or just preserving how we are. And we are going to have a beauty segment today that I am so excited about. I have with me as a guest today Gregory Guillaume. Welcome, Gregory.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
And let me just tell you, we've kind of gone out of Atlanta today. We've gone to one of the beauty hot zones on the planet, New York City. And Gregory is a licensed skincare therapist. She's licensed in New York City and also California. She is a skin and beauty blogger. She writes as a writer and also blogs for HelloBeautiful.com and Juicy. She's also been a makeup artist in the past, so she's very used to dealing with face and how we look and made it her business. And you tell me you are just passionate about beauty and skincare. Is that right?
You know, I eat, I live, I breathe. It comes out of my pores, quite honestly. I mean, as a kid, I was obsessed with everything beauty. My mother, you know, she was a cosmetologist, and, you know, she always told myself and my sister, you know, I don't want you guys following after me and going to school and doing this, but I ignored her, and years after I graduated from college, I decided to go ahead and get my esthetician license in California, and I did that at night while I worked during the day. It took me about 6 months, and when I did it, I was so thrilled and eventually did work in a spa in California.
Very
so,
good.
This is something, when I was young also, I did work, you know, at the malls, and I'd work at cosmetic counters as well. So, it's pretty intense, and even right now as a writer, as you mentioned, my entire house looks pretty much, or my living room looks like a Sephora. I mean, I could really just...
Product land everywhere, right. Now, what made you get involved in the writing aspect of your work, in addition to the actual...
Honestly, I got tired of, you know, going to a corporate job. I was coming home every day, and I was crying and just sad, and I wasn't thrilled, and I wasn't doing what my heart was telling me to do. So I'm really the co-founder of my website, which is HughNewitt.com. My sister and I started this together, and it was in part just talking to her and complaining so much, and I really wanted a larger voice. I wanted to be able to reach more people than just one or two, you know, in my treatment room. And I think over the last 5 years that the site has been up, I've been able to, you know, reach a few, you know, a few people within this country and really around the world. I sometimes get emails from, you know, Abu Dhabi and Africa, and people asking me questions about skincare and makeup stuff. So that was really the goal, just to kind of get my voice out there, and it's been a beautiful experience so far.
Very good. Well, we're thrilled to bring some of that audience here to us today and hopefully expand it. I want to start just by talking about skin. We're especially going to focus on the face today, because I think a lot of people are sensitive about their face, and we're, as we age, things aren't the same year after year after year, and we're always trying to preserve that. And actually in business, how we look drops to the bottom line in our pocketbook also. So what makes us feel good? It's part of our income. It's just part of our life. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really sad that you had to make the statement that, you know, when you're out there, you want to present your best possible self to
Correct.
The world. And call yourself vain, call me vain. There's got to be some sort of vanity initially in order for you to do your best work in the house. So before even any makeup even touches your face, your skin needs to look healthy and be healthy, because when you apply makeup on face that is just way, it's inflamed with acne or whatever the case, it doesn't look good. So, you know, at the end of the day, oral hygiene in terms of teeth and also your skin, it affects how you feel as a person. And if your insides don't feel great, you're not going to present that happy self.
Yeah, certain feeling our best makes us more confident in everything we do. I agree with that. So I'm interested, right when we start, before we get into the weeds here with the skin care, you know, I think that traditionally when you hear about face care, skin care, we think women, but I'm interested in what you see in your blogging about and with your audience. Are the men kind of creeping into the picture, and to what degree are they?
You know, it's interesting. They aren't the ones that email me. It's but I do, obviously, I do receive a lot. I deal with PR companies all day long. And, you know, one of the challenges is when it comes to men, how do you market to men? Because they're not into the frills. They're not into all that stuff. They want things that are just very simple. And basically, multi-purpose products. That, for me, as a woman, is huge. I mean, but a lot of us as women, we like to kind of, we like to regiment some time and just kind of taking our time with doing something. But a man, short on time. And they don't want anything that is too fragrant. They want things that are just in and out and on your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day when I had a boyfriend, you know, I would give him products, and you know, he was really appreciative. But I said, why don't you buy this stuff on your own? He's like, I don't want to be out there buying that stuff. So there's some sort of embarrassment for some men, but others, they're very open with it, and they go to the store aisles, and you know, the companies like Neutrogena and they've gone out there and really have started marketing to these men,
mm-hmm.
which I find very exciting.
Yeah, I find that exciting too. I also think commercially I'm paying attention to like the Dove ads that take normal everyday women and make them look their best, not just the models.
That's how
real people.
Yeah, absolutely. We can relate to someone that looks like ourselves versus what we see in the magazines of people that are, as we know, are airbrushed to death.
Right.
So a real person to me does a lot more and has much more of an impact than someone that's, you know, obviously not looking, that looks way too perfect.
Right. Well, let's start with, I always am a big believer on starting where you are. So I think that when we talk about our face and skin care of our face, and we'll eventually move toward anti-aging and preserving, and not just preserving, but actually going back and reversing some of the damage we may have done. Let's just start with normal basic skin types. So can you kind of go through the skin types for us and how you kind of categorize them and how, when I'm looking in the mirror, how I might categorize where I, what my skin type is when I look for product?
Okay, well, the first one is dry skin. Mm-hmm. The best way to tell, really, is if you take a deep breath and your skin really, it feels super, super tight. And you can't even see a pore when you look in the mirror. That's dry skin. When I refer to the pore, it means that if you can't see it, there's no oil that's coming out, which means there's no excretion, which really softens the skin and actually stops the skin from wrinkling. So that's what dry skin is. And when you're treating that, you're looking for something that's really going to rehydrate and moisturize.
Mm-hmm.
The next skin type would be oily skin, and that's really my type. It's overactive oil production. So, and with that comes, on the one hand, your skin is lubricated, but on the other, but then also you could suffer from acne because those particular pores, some pores may stay closed up, then they start to create a bump.
Mm-hmm.
And 1, 2, 3 bumps, and all of a sudden we have a major flare-up, and that's, you know, that's affecting our self-esteem as well. So, and the goal for treating that type of skin would be to balance it. But then also, we're talking normal combination skin. These are people who have T-zone issues. So across the forehead and down the front of the nose and towards the chin, that area is generally oily, but then the cheek area is really, really tight. So the cheeks are very dry, but then the oily area right here is an issue. So again, with that sort of skin type, you're looking to balance it as well. And then you have, you know, your sensitive skin. Sensitive skin is really, it's highly reactive. So any sort of product really that you put on it, the skin can turn red or become very itchy very quickly. So it's important to look at ingredients like, I would say, cucumber, things like that that are very soothing and calming to that type of, that skin type. And also we have acneic skin type, people who easily break out. I mean, it could be hereditary sake, it could be what they're eating, it could be a number of issues that could end up creating unfortunate flare-ups. So in that instance, we're talking, you know, you have to go to your dermatologist. It may be something that's more internal versus going to a store and buying something that can that would help them topically.
Mm-hmm. So that's a very good baseline for having us look in the mirror and kind of giving us some clues on where we're starting out. Let's also
Absolutely.
Talk about what we might see back in the reflection just in terms of skin conditions like dehydration, hyperpigmentation, rosacea, acne. What are some skin conditions that we need to be aware of before we pick a product or decide what might be right for our face?
Hyperpigmentation, that's something that generally happens when you've had acneic skin. It could be something that you may have broken out one time in your life and you end up with the dark spots. I mean, that can be a one-time deal or it could be a forever issue. So in that instance, I would, you could potentially fall into the normal combination category or even the oily skin category. So you're going to look for products that have maybe salicylic acid that can calm down the overactive sebum glands that you have. What else do you want me to, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. We were talking.
I got caught up in my answer to you.
You
sorry.
Did. We were talking about also rosacea.
Oh, rosacea. You know, that's something that doctors really, truly still haven't figured out how to treat, honestly. You know, I like I said, I work with a lot of PR companies. They're always selling me on pitches and products. And really, the one product that I gravitate towards when I'm even thinking about rosacea is cucumber. Really soothing. I'm talking like cream cleansers when you're dealing with rosy type skin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that, unfortunately, we just haven't figured out how to treat and get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing issue.
Mm-hmm. And then, so we kind of get a feel for what's baseline for us, whether we what skin type we have, plus on top of it, if we're also dealing with or not some kind of skin condition, as kind of a starting point. What about how our lifestyle affects our skin? Like, what recommendations do you have your clients on, like water, on what you eat? What are the things that really make a difference?
Oh my gosh. It comes down to the amount of sleep that you're getting. I mean, we would all love to get, you know, anywhere between, you know, 6 to 8 hours of sleep every night, but that's not always possible. But that's a good baseline right there. If you are, as myself, I'm a very social person, and, you know, alcohol, I mean, that can dehydrate your skin. You're dehydrating your skin, you're making your skin dry, which then makes it more prone to wrinkles, depending on your background, your history, your, you know, the people in your family, depending on their skin type as well. So, I mean, tons of water, obviously fruits that are, you know, high in water, your oranges, your tomatoes, or your strawberries, things of that nature. That right there could, you know, I'm talking 8 glasses of water a day. Now, I say that, but it's hard for myself to even follow my own rules, but I do try.
Right. Well, I think we all feel like it's hard to get it all in, and now we have these little on-the-go things that we try to make it taste better and get it all in, but definitely the water affects our entire body, including our skin, because we're made up so much of water, for sure.
Absolutely.
Let's talk just a few minutes about how our skin ages over time. So when I look in the mirror, I'm not my 20-year-old self. It seems like every decade I'm looking at a new thing. So maybe we should just talk about the process of skin aging.
Well, there are a number of things that affect the skin aging. I mean, first off, sun exposure. I mean, you don't want to be baking in the sun because, you know, therein lies the issue of having to wear sunscreen, which you're supposed to do anyway. Then we're talking environment. How does, you know, just walking outside of your door every day affect you? Well, pollutants like car exhaust and secondhand smoke can even have a lasting effect because those things affect the healthy cells and the way they appear on your face. General lifestyle, as we talked about before, sleeping, you know, you're socializing and the amount of liquor that you're, you know, having, you know, when you do go out, that can also have an effect. Heredity. But then also looking at, you know, loss of collagen. And collagen, I'm talking about what plumps up our skin. So if you have those lines that are around the nose or the folds of your mouth or whatever, the collagen is what helps to lift it so you don't end up seeing those folds right there.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the loss of elastin fibers, which we need to tighten that skin, you know, because over time our skin wrinkles and sags. So those are, you know, a number of the factors that affect us and start to age us over time.
Okay, so once we kind of get a baseline, we know how to kind of protect ourselves going forward and what our kind of skin type is and what conditions we have. Let's kind of start going through, how do I decipher there are thousands, millions of products out there on the market? And I'd like to kind of break it down by category of skin product or skin regimes. Like, let's talk about antioxidants. Let's talk about exfoliants, masks. Let's just kind of start going through some of the skin care categories, and then you can weigh in on the categories. That might be the easiest way to approach it.
All right, so if we're talking about antioxidant, like botanicals, these are things that, you know, they accelerate the renewal of skin cells. And you're doing this by using products that contain 8-AHAs, which are alpha-hydroxy acids, or even beta-hydroxy acids, and in short, BHAs, or that is like salicylic acid and mm-hmm. kojic acid. These, as you said, they work as an exfoliant, and what they do is they dislodge the cells from your face so that it makes room for new healthy skin or new cells to grow. And they also, actually, they also stimulate the production of collagen and elastin, which, as I mentioned before, which helps to plump and tighten our skin.
So now, what about using an exfoliant on somebody with dry skin? Would that, like, be too extreme for something that they could tolerate?
Now, there are different types of exfoliants. You have the kind that have larger granules in them, which I wouldn't suggest anyone use unless they know how to use them with a soft hand, because you get an abscarring your skin. There are cream exfoliants out there as well. So there are different types, obviously. I mean, there's products like St. Ives, for instance. Mm-hmm. They have, I mean, and for like $2 or $3, I mean, you can find something for every skin type within that line, actually. Mm-hmm. And they would have the proper type of product for that particular skin type, or even my own, or even your own. And speaking of your own, Tanya, have you figured out, based on what we talked about,
where
what
I am?
Skin type is?
Yes, I think my skin is sensitive. So I'm one of those, if you pluck my eyebrows, it looks red for 3 days. I always start my facial with put the calmest thing you possibly can on. So really, I don't really struggle with oily skin or dry skin or flaky or any of that. It's just extremely sensitive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, at least you found something that is working for you, and you're not going to upset that regimen for nothing, because it's working for you.
Yeah,
right?
I'll just walk around blistery red, looking like I have a sunburn all day if I pick the wrong thing.
Oh, no.
yeah. So let's go back to, we've talked a little bit about exfoliants. Anything else about in that category that you think we should discuss?
Also, I think people underestimate the power of masks, actually.
Yeah, let's talk about
masks. I mean,
I'm
thinking once a week, because it's impossible to expect someone to go and get a facial every 6 weeks. It's not always, you know, economical for someone to do that. But to include a mask in your skincare regimen, which, you know, doing once a week is ideal, because what you'd end up doing is put on your face for, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, let it dry, let it go ahead and pull out whatever goop is in those pores, because once you do that and once you rinse it off, you're going to have a brighter complexion, you know. So, I mean, I think a mask, like I said, is, you know, an underestimated part of the regimen, but something that we really should be doing.
So let's
once
go,
a week, that's all I ask.
Once a week. So let's go back and talk about what would be the kind of mask that the different skin types would want, because I know there's different kinds. Like if you're oily skin, you want something that's a little more pulling it out. If you have dry skin, you probably want something that's putting moisture in.
Absolutely, and because we were talking about your skin earlier, sensitive skin, mm-hmm. gel masks are great as well, because those are calming and soothing. If you have an acneic skin, you want a product that would have like sulfur in it, which would be really drying. Mm-hmm. So, and you would think that putting something on a face that's oily and over drying it would be a problem, and it actually could be, because if you're over drying it, the face could actually work even harder to create more oil, which then brings you back to the issue of having more acne mm-hmm. Showing up on your face. Mm-hmm. So gel masks are ideal for, you know, dry skin and even sensitive skins.
Mm-hmm. What about toners? Let's talk about toners and balancing pH.
Toners, I struggle with using them personally, because I don't have the time to do it. But, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't hurt to go ahead and take a cotton ball to a toner and actually take off. Once you wash your face, you don't stop there. There is residual dirt that lives within those pores. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is to take a cotton ball to your face, get some toner on there, and just go ahead and just swab it down. And you'll be surprised, when you pull it away from your face, there's going to be some dirt sitting on that.
Yeah, we just thought we did a good job.
You go to sleep with that. Right. You could potentially cause yourself a breakout because you didn't clear that out of your pore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So, and is there any particular skin type that would benefit the most from using a toner, since that's maybe something that people tend to skip?
Actually, all of them. There's a toner for every skin type out there.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about
benefit from using.
Yeah.
It. Yes.
I was just imagining. I was visualizing in my mind the process. You know, when we do skincare, and we actually need to go back and talk about cleansers, because that's kind of step one, right?
That is step one, actually. I mean, There's so many types out there. You have your cream cleansers, you have your gel cleansers, you have your foam cleansers. I mean, there's one that I use right now from Purpose Skincare. Purpose Skincare is one that's really good for all skin types because it's really gentle. I mean, it's a really gentle skin cleanser. It doesn't, for sensitive skin, it doesn't affect it. Oily skin, it's perfectly fine. I mean, all skin types generally. So, and it really does take away any sort of residual dirt that you may have on your skin. 1 to 2 pumps is, you know, all you really need. And obviously you would follow that up with your toner.
Mm-hmm. And what's the primary difference between if I'm picking a cream, a gel, or a foam cleanser?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What's the primary difference between the cream, the gel, and the foam cleanser? Just the method of
depending on skin type.
Okay, skin
really
type.
Depending on skin type. If you're the sensitive person, you're going to be using a gel. You're going to be using a cream. If you are, but then also if you're using, if you have a oily skin like myself, I could still use those same sorts of cleansers as well. I really could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about moisturizer?
It really just depends on and the way that you like it in your hand,
right.
How it feels.
So some of it's just the delivery.
Really
of it's just the delivery of what your preference is, and some of it is targeted toward the skin type.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about moisturizers. So for all those that have the dry skin type, how often do you moisturize? I think women, you know, during the day or some intensive thing at night, kind of what do you recommend and what do you see?
I do a moisturizer every day, but if you are someone who has particularly dry skin, there are night creams that work incredibly overnight because it's trapping in moisture, and that's something that someone with dry skin absolutely needs. So if anything, once a day in the morning once you wash your face, a moisturizer. And what's ideal is if that moisturizer has SPF in it because, you know, we don't want to take the time to do more steps because it delays mm-hmm. getting our day started. But if there's, a sunscreen in that as well, mm-hmm. that's even better.
So back to the idea of multi-purpose products.
Yes.
Right. Put them all in one. Okay.
Yes.
Now, this is something that always has baffled me. I go to the beauty counter and I see a lot of, right now, serums, which to me just seems like a concentrated product, and I'm confused as to when do I need something normal and when do I need concentrated. Can you shed any light on that?
If you have a certain skin condition, this is ideal for, it's an anti-aging sort of deal. So the serums penetrate deeper because it is a treatment product. It penetrates deeper into the dermis, which is why you would use like a vitamin C or a vitamin E. So a vitamin C would, repair the skin and then also protect the skin from the sun's rays. So those are the times when you'd actually be using a serum. I promise you, they're not just selling you a lie.
It's a mystery to me.
Serums do a lot of good for our skin.
Yeah, you're giving me new information here. Okay, and before we get to the sunscreens, I'm interested in kind of what recommendations you give your clients in terms of sunscreen protection in terms of SPF level?
Really, the basic right now is SPF 30. It used to be 15, but over the last 2 years, that standard was raised. So an SPF 30 is really what we should all be wearing. Period, end of story, honestly.
And what about
ideally, you're going to not be in the sun all the time anyway, though, but I apologize.
Yeah, so one of the questions I have is, like, for right now, I'm wearing a makeup that is a multi-purpose product that has the moisturizer plus the SPF in it. And what are the things I'm wondering, especially living in the Southeast where it's sunny a lot, and from your experience out in California, is how long is that really lasting on me? If I put it on in the morning?
You need to really be applying it every 2 to 3 hours, and that's really, that's difficult to do, especially if you're
right.
wearing makeup. But so really the plan would be for you to put it on in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you're working indoors anyway, though, so you're mm-hmm. not going to be going outside routinely. And
right.
by the time you leave, possibly, it's already dark. So you're probably protected throughout the day. But ideally, you're supposed to be applying your sunscreen every 2 to 3 hours, depending on your activity mm-hmm. outside.
So if I'm at the beach, no makeup, put on the sunscreen. If I'm walking around in life and I'm inside, I'm probably okay for the bulk of the day.
Yeah, and if you're at the beach, hopefully you're under an umbrella right. or you've got a really large
big hat
with a big brim on it.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about, are there any recommendations you have about corrective creams? Like if I have acne, if I have some of these problem things, Do you have any good recommendations on what's kind of worth it and what's not, or products that you've seen that have really worked for spot treatments or something?
Well, yeah, like that. I mean, I know the BNS Beauté line, they've got a ton of products. They have a ton of pharmaceutical ingredients in those, mm-hmm. but also organic and natural ingredients. So I would suggest something from their line. But then also organic skincare is something that's really huge right now, too. And by that, I mean there are no pesticides or chemicals is how it's marketed. And but there are a ton of other products that are not included as well. So, but I love, you know, BNS Beauté, and then I also love Eminence. Given what I do, I get to go to a number of spas and get treatments. And many of the treatments that I get are, you know, facials. And what I find interesting is that Eminence, the brand that I just mentioned, is the line that's the prevailing line. And they are one of the leading organic skincare companies. And they're a company out of Hungary, mm-hmm. Which I find very interesting. Mm. But I also, CeraVe, that's a brand also that's similar to Purpose Skincare, which I think is good for, you know, all skin types as well. It's non-irritating. It's very safe to use. And it's simple skincare. It's not difficult to use by any stretch. Mm-hmm. No major rules to understand.
Right. You referenced, Gregory, pharmaceutical grade ingredients. Can you talk just a little bit about, you know, I know that we're starting to, we actually talking about pharmaceutical grade. We've also talked about organic skincare. What are these products backed by research? Does it have to be pharmaceutical grade? What's kind of you seeing out there?
Pharmaceutical ingredients, and I am not a complete expert on that, but I can say this. When you're putting those ingredients in products, these things are formulated by chemists, mm-hmm. and then they're also doctor approved. So nothing can go onto the market until these doctors have seen it. So FDA approved is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we should look for when we're purchasing?
I would say so. But mm-hmm. I mean, but also we were talking about trends in skincare and ingredients, all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. Also, we miss cosmeceuticals. Mm-hmm. And that actually is a great marriage between cosmetics and pharmaceuticals. So if you're thinking lipstick and it's got some sort of like plumping thing in there, mm-hmm. then that's a cosmeceutical. Anything that affects a cell structure is a cosmeceutical.
Okay. And we seem to see
there's
a lot of research going on in that now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we're seeing, yeah, we just go to the beauty counter and we're actually learning a new vocabulary about what all they're testing and combining and how that works with us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a scary notion for women to go to, you know, a beauty counter and be approached by so many people because, first off, the idea that someone coming to me, they're trying to get commission or whatever, it's overwhelming. So I'm very clear with what I'm looking for when I go to a counter, and it's important that we as women, we go with knowledge, because when you go with knowledge, no one can sell you on a lie. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what you want, and you won't go home broke because you bought something you didn't need mm-hmm. in the first place.
So how do you approach when you go to the beauty counter? How do you educate yourself?
Because this is what I do for a living, mm-hmm. I already know what I want, and mm-hmm. I'm kind of that customer that says, I just want this and I just want that. Mm-hmm. Now, if I want to treat myself to something else and that's a color product, mm-hmm. and so be it, that's my issue. But when it comes to skincare, I know exactly what I need. Mm-hmm. But I've done a lot less shopping within at counters personally because I do have a dermatologist mm-hmm. who does treat my skin. So I do go in every 5 to 6 weeks for my glycolic peels because of my oily skin, mm-hmm. which for me, the glycolic actually helps open up the pores so I don't get the impactions, which could eventually lead to a breakout.
Mm-hmm. So that brings up another good question. You said you see the dermatologist every 5 to 6 weeks for your skin type. For me, I kind of have set a rule of once a quarter, I'm going to get a facial. But what is kind of normal? Like how often should we be going, do you think?
I said 5 to 6 weeks earlier, for every 5 to 6 weeks, but that's, you know, that's virtually impossible for everyone to do.
Mm-hmm, right.
So if it is, you know, once every 2 months or mm-hmm. yeah, once every 2 months, that's fine also. But the fact that you just said, you know, 4 times a year for yourself, mm-hmm. the fact that you're even putting the effort to do that, I think it's impressive because I feel like for you, I know that you at home have a very good skincare regimen and you care about your appearance. So you're doing all that it takes to make sure that you present the best possible, you know, self to the world. And also because you want your makeup to lay properly and you want a great canvas to start out with mm-hmm. initially.
Okay.
So I think you're doing the right thing. Once every 2 months would be great.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's whatever people can handle
financially.
Right,
right. So let's talk. We're going to come to the end of our time in a few minutes, and we've got a few more areas to cover. But I'm really interested, since you're a blogger and a writer and having to keep up on trends and breakthroughs, what are some things in your industry, anti-aging, skincare related, that you're most excited about from what you see going on?
Okay, so this is the Botox thing. I did the Botox thing once, and I don't have a wrinkle, but I wanted to know what all the hoo-ha was about. I couldn't blink for pretty much 6 months. I looked crazy. But what I think is so interesting out right now is spider bee venom. It's not the actual spider venom that you would get, or bee from a venom from a bee, but it's a synthetic version that you'd get. And what that is, and what it does, just like Botox does, it controls the muscles and mm-hmm. lifts and tightens just like Botox does. So wherever your problem areas are on your face, that's where you would apply it. It reduces all sorts of facial movements, you know, around the forehead and mouth, but there's no loss of natural expression, which is not something that Botox is really known for, unless you have a doctor that knows how to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And is it all topical, not injectable?
It's topical.
Okay. And prescription?
Topical. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so how long would the effects of that last? If we think of, like, Botox as 6 months, what would be
this the... Is temporary. I mean, you have products that you put on every day, honestly.
Okay.
So this, I think, is more economic, first off.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it's not going to deaden your expression so you can smile all day.
Mm-hmm. You can be at more...
and not get a wrinkle.
More normal effect.
Even before buying that product, is if you are a person who likes to make facial expressions, stop doing it. Stop talking so much with your face. If you're someone who goes out in the sun and doesn't like to put on sunglasses, do me a favor and buy a pair of sunglasses, because all that squinting that you're doing, you're creating wrinkles around your eye. Mm-hmm. And if you've got dry skin, you're asking to see wrinkles sooner than later.
Now, you're bringing up a good point on wrinkling. I was just thinking about, as I was crawling out of the bed and looking at that sheet line on my face in the mirror when I start, I know that over time, how we sleep, you sleep on your back, you sleep on your sides, those affect your skin. So mm-hmm. do you have any opinion about that? Like, you were just mentioning, like, get the glasses so you won't have wrinkles around your eyes. Sleeping on your back, will that actually, in your opinion, cause less wrinkles?
I think it actually, I mean, it kind of fools us into thinking that, but it's almost like a temporary facelift, if you will. Let's think about it. If you're rolling onto your side and your face, your hand mm-hmm. is in your face and your face is all crinkled up, in the morning when you wake up, sometimes you have dents in your face just because of what you laid on. Now imagine those dents never going away.
Mm-hmm.
And the skin, because you lost that elastin, your skin mm-hmm. no longer has that bounce back effect.
Mm-hmm.
If it can't bounce back, then your skin stays in that position. You're in line to get those wrinkles and the sagging much sooner than you would have had you paid attention to how you do sleep.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, so any other breakthroughs or trends that you think are important for us to keep up with or pay attention to?
There's just one last thing I want to talk about. There's a Botox and filler alternative. It's from a company called Dermatude. That's Dermatude. And it's one of the newest skin rejuvenation anti-aging treatments. So anyway, it hydrates and restores with no side effects, and it's there's no pain or bruising or scarring, if you will. And what I love most about it, though, is that it's no surgical procedure. So you're not talking under the knife. You're talking lunchtime, really, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal really is to reduce crow's feet and frown and smile lines and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And mm-hmm. It's a painless treatment.
Very good. Is it an injectable treatment or like a, is it an injectable?
It's an injectable.
A filler.
It's injectable,
like,
but
a filler.
It's not something that you'd have to stay overnight for. Just go in, get it done, and be on your way.
Okay, very good. All right. Yeah. And I want to leave the listeners with, what are your final kind of tips of the trade? You know, we talked about, you've been a makeup artist, you work in New York City, you're in ground zero for how people look every day and kind of set the standard for a lot of other places in the country. What are your top 1, 2, 3 things on facial skincare that you want the audience to remember?
The first thing is a bar of soap just won't cut it. I need you ladies and even men to go ahead and get yourself a cleanser for your skin type. You want to get that moisturizer in every day. You make sure your SPF is on as well, you know, if nothing else. But then also, if you're going to get a treatment product, if you don't know your skin type, you know, hopefully you've paid attention to this this show today. And if not, talk to a dermatologist or even just go online, WebMD. They can give you great information as well on finding out what your skin type is. Also, drinking water. People underestimate the effects of drinking water, but that could also kind of slow down the signs of aging. And, you know, the last point is, actually, I like this too. Pay attention to how you sleep if you can. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to wake up the next day and have to, you know, contend with wrinkles that you can't even get rid of, and you're only 25. Come mm-hmm. on. So mm-hmm. let's pay attention to what we're doing. No squinting, no talking with our faces. Let's decrease the amount of damage that we can for as long as we can.
Very good. Okay, all good tips. And you know what? It's pretty basic stuff.
Yeah,
wash your face.
Now people do it.
Now people, it's the execution of it that's always the problem, isn't it?
And exactly.
And Gregory, I also wanted to end with a couple of tips of product recommendations. So do you have for anti-aging skincare things that you think are just excellent that people should check out?
Yes, I adore Neutrogena. Mm-hmm. That's one of my, I grew up with that line, and I like them because they are forever an innovator. I also like Eminent Skincare, which I talked about. Mm-hmm. They're, as I said, are the leading organic skincare mm-hmm. brand. So if you're someone that is concerned about chemicals and pesticides, that's a brand that you should also look at. But then also BNS Beauté, they've got a dense line of products, and because you know they're doctor approved and they've got so many natural and organic and even pharmaceutical grade mm-hmm. Ingredients, there's something for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And we found you through their founder, Lila Polite. I want to take a minute to mention Lila and thank her for referring you to us today.
Yeah, she's a doll.
She's a doll. She's and fun. I also wanted to end the show just with you telling us a little bit about how you spend your time, where we can find your blog, how we can contact you.
Oh, certainly. I spend my time day in and day out writing and going to events, product launches. And you can find me on my website, hughnewitt.com. And if you want to email me, just email me at Gregory, which is Gregorie, at hughnewitt, HUEKNEWIT.com. Send me any of your burning beauty questions, skincare questions, and I'll do my best to get back to you as soon as possible.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, you know what? Believe it or not, we're to the end of our segment today on Face 2014 with New York City expert and beauty consultant and blogger and writer Gregory Guillaume. And thank you so much for coming. We've so enjoyed your input today.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time. Hopefully we'll connect again in the future.
Very good. And all of you in Atlanta, thanks for listening. Have a great, it is a sunny, beautiful day here in Atlanta. Enjoy a little bit of warm at least until the next blast comes. Take care of your skin and face. And check out our website sponsors, also www.healthgate.com, to see if there's any offers or products on there that can save you time, money, and help you feel great. Have a great day, and thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
The Doctor's Roundtable has been a production brought to you by HealthGate and Business Radio X. HealthGate is a groundbreaking website where board-certified doctors and specialists offer savings on out-of-pocket healthcare costs. For more information about HealthGate, please visit www.healthgate.com or call 404-692-5377. We hope you tune in next week, and thank you for listening.